40, verse 31, remember, says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, beloved gems, I'm going to talk to you a lot this morning, so I want your eyes up here, okay? But I want Bibles on your lap, okay? Because I want you to look at Isaiah 40. That's everybody, all right? Just so you know, everybody. Bibles in your lap, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Your theme verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31, has eagles in it, right, gems? I saw an eagle this week. Lots of stuff happened this week. Gems, I was riding in the car Wednesday afternoon with Mrs. Grunboom, looked up, and in front of the car, circling up high, was a bald eagle. I saw its white, beautiful, feathered head. We were stopped at a red light and watched it as it soared above us. I thought, that's really cool, because the Gems theme verse has an eagle in it. Of all weeks to see it, that's called providential. Gems, just so you know. Now, about that theme verse, did you notice Isaiah, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write that book, puts the really big one first: soaring, then running, then walking. Soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. If I were writing that book, I probably would have started with walking and then moved on to running, and then finally soaring like an eagle. Now, I didn't write the book, good thing, but I did decide what I wanted to title my sermon. Did you notice it? I put it in reverse of what Isaiah did. I started with the very first one I could think of even, rise up. You know about rise up. You heard about it all year. You've got to get up first. You got to rise up first, and then you can walk, and then you can run, and then maybe even soar. So sermon title, rise up, walk, run, soar. And that brings me to the sea turtles I read about this week. Sea turtles. All kinds of stuff happened this week. I read about sea turtles. Now, there's an invasive plant, one that's not really supposed to be near sea turtle nests. And that plant is causing not as many sea turtles to hatch, to be born. And experts figured out why, because of that plant. Its root systems destroy the sea turtle eggs. People are all worried about that, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of those plants. But that got me thinking about sea turtles. There they are, under the sand, in the eggs their moms laid. After about 60 days, they hatch with their caruncle, their egg tooth that they tear open the egg from the inside, a wiggle out, they rise up from the sand, and they start walking across the dry sand to the wet sand, and pretty soon they're running, and that doesn't take long, because when you're a turtle going from a walk to a run, you're going from 1 mile an hour to 1.25 miles per hour. So they rise up, they walk, they run, and then they hit the water and deeper water, and all of a sudden they are soaring, not in the air, but in the water, soaring through the ocean. But you know, I left something out. So let's go back a minute. At the very beginning of your verse, verse 31 of Isaiah 40, what does it say? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And a little earlier today, when we read that responsive reading together, you said, placing our hope in God, in the Lord, changes everything. You said that our strength is renewed for living, right? Placing our hope in the Lord changes everything. And one of you told us to put our hope in God, in the Lord. We need to know Him. And then you told us things you studied all year. We heard it already. Five truths about God. You told us what they were. You can check your bulletins, congregation. You heard Joy talk about it too. You'll see them. Five truths about who God is and what He does. So you know how I think about those five truths? I think about them as what we need to be standing on, first of all, before we can walk, run, and soar. If we're going to walk, run, and soar with God in this life, we need to be standing on those truths first. That's what I left out of my sermon titled. Gems, did you figure that out? Rise up, walk, run, soar. Just like those turtles, I left something out. They rise up, walk, run, soar. What did I leave out? I left out the word stand. Those turtles, they rise up, then they stand on the sand for a second. And then and only then can they walk, run, and soar. You've got to stand on something, and it's so important. So we want to know what we need to be standing on. And we get to stand on it longer than just a second, like the turtles stand on the sand for just a second. We get to stand on it our whole lives. Because if you're not standing on those five truths, you learn that are all about God, you can't do any of those other things for God, walk, run, or soar. You want to stand on firm ground, on the firm ground of those five truths. Gems, maybe some of you heard this, that Mrs. Grunboom broke her leg and got it all fixed up this past week. Lots of stuff happened this week, I'll tell you. Mrs. Grunboom thought she was on firm ground and twisted her ankle, and that twist caused a spiral fracture of her fibula bone. Wow, that's no fun at all. But I want you to listen to someone else, okay? Someone else talking about not being able to stand on something. And it's not talking about your legs. It's talking about your heart. And it's poetry. All right, from a song. The songwriter is thinking about people and their hearts, and it's clear as he thinks about people, like the five truths you learned about God. People don't have something firm to stand on like those five things in their hearts, and it's poetry, so some of you are going to think, oh, that really makes sense, and others are going to think, boy, that's just weird, and that's okay. Johannes Brahms writes this about human beings who don't have truth about God to stand on. He writes this, yet we are given no place to rest. We suffering humans vanish and fall blindly from one hour to the next, like water flung from cliff to cliff, endlessly down into the unknown, into doubt and despair. What a description that is, congregation. Do you see the water coming down from those cliffs, hitting one cliff, then the other, coming down, splashing to another, then into the unknown? Do you see human beings falling blindly from one hour to the next? Human beings who have no truths about God to stand on. It's an abysmal, literally, an abysmal picture, isn't it? But Gems, you've helped us today because you gave us five truths to stand on so that we can then walk, run, and even soar for God. You gave us the first truth to stand on. You said God is. Are you with me, Gems? You said God is king. There you go. Now you learned other places in God's word, the Bible, that tell us God is king, out of the book of Esther and other places. But I thought what we could do today, that's why I hope you have your Bibles open, is see if we can find those five truths in this same chapter of Isaiah 40, where your theme verse is, Isaiah 40. See if Isaiah tells us those same five truths. So first one, what was it again? God is. And for that one, let's check out Isaiah 40, verse 22. Verse 22, we read there, Gems, verse 22, he, God, the Lord, that is, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Well, there you have it. The word enthroned gives it away, doesn't it? God, the Lord, is king on his throne, enthroned. Now, we can't see him, but God's word tells us the truth. God is king, which means he's in charge of everything. Gems, do you remember what happened on Tuesday afternoon this past week in the sky? What was it? Eclipse. A lot of stuff happened this week. For us, a partial solar eclipse. I learned about eclipses this week, how they seem to be so random, and yet for those who study the stars, astronomers, they can tell you exactly when the next solar eclipse is going to be. Gems, maybe you had those special glasses and you could see the sun and the moon going in front of it. But you know what I did? I didn't have the special glasses, so I pulled out a strainer, a colander, held it up, and the sun shone through all the holes of the strainer, and the light coming through those holes was projected onto the ground. And in the shadow of that strainer, I could see bright little crescents bunch of them, like little crescent rolls. I could see that the moon was covering part of the sun, the eclipse. I could tell it was happening by what I saw on the ground. Someone thought about the eclipse and wrote this. Oh, I love this. A solar eclipse is like a giant wink from our Heavenly Father, letting us know that the universe did not come about by accident, but by perfect design. It seems a remarkable coincidence that despite the sun being 400 times larger than the moon, they appear to be exactly the same size, because the sun is 400 times further away from us than the moon. The writer then says it's almost as if it was designed that way, as a phenomenon to be seen and enjoyed from Earth, designed by God for our benefit, for our sense of wonderment. Gems, nothing about an eclipse is random or coincidence. The planets and the stars and the moon and the Earth follow certain paths of certain speeds at certain orbits, and people who are really good at math can figure out those paths and patterns and tell you, no, it's not random or accidental or coincidence at all. In fact, it shows that there is an incredible infinite intelligence who put it all together this way. And we know that's God. That's why the person said, it's like a giant wink from our Heavenly Father, because he's king over it. You know what the Bible says? It talks about our king, the king of all creation, God. God set the two great lights in the expanse of the sky, the larger, the sun, to have dominion over the day, the smaller, the moon, to have dominion over the night. They separated the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. He did it. Of course it was. Friends, gems, that's the first truth we stand on, right? First truth. God is king. God is my king. God is your king, king over all creation. All right, ready? Second truth you told us, God is our? There you go. Now you're with me. Where do we see that? How about verse 29? What does it say? He, that's God, the Lord God, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those are deliverance words, my friends. What's that song we sing? Let's see. You know the one. It's give thanks. And now let the weak say, I am strong. That's what verse 29 is saying. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. They are delivered from their weakness. They have a deliverer. Who is it? Well, it's God, right? Wait, what does the song go on to say? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son, the deliverer. There he is. God the Father gives the deliverer to his people, to his weak, weary people, to his people who are weak and weary. Listen, weak and weary from sin. That's what we need deliverance from our sin, from all the wrong we do, all our sins. We need a deliverer, a savior. God gives us a savior, gives us his son, Jesus, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, then was crucified, and upon him all our sins were laid. He took the punishment for our sins until that punishment was finished. And then he was buried and raised up by the Father on the third day so that he could give to weak with sin people, to weary and burdened people, he could give deliverance, forgiveness, new life, salvation. From weak and weary to strength and power. That's our new life in Jesus Christ. When Christ lives in us, he delivers us. He says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Weak and weary with sin people need rest, need deliverance, need a savior. Verse 29 tells us he is the one who delivers. All right, here we go, gems. Third truth you told us was that God is... Yeah, I lost you again. God is, there it is. He is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. He's faithful and trustworthy. Where's that one? Check out verses 13 and 14. You want someone faithful and trustworthy? You're going to get no one more trustworthy than the one Isaiah tells us about there. Listen to him. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord? or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who taught him the right way? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the path of understanding? Those are all called rhetorical questions, gems. No one ever could. No one can fathom God's spirit, can instruct him, can enlighten him, can teach him, can show him understanding. He is trustworthy because he knows all. No one knows better about anything than the Lord God, so we can trust him. The third truth we stand on, and that God is trustworthy. Indeed, he is. Who can fathom more? Who can educate him? Who can enlighten him? Who can instruct God? Not one person. He's at the top, and you can trust him. That's number three. All right, gems, you told us the fourth truth to stand on. God is always at work. He is near. He didn't just create, and then all he does is sit enthroned above that circle of the earth and look at us little grasshoppers walking around. No, he is at work. He didn't wind up the world like an old kind of clock that needs to be wound, and eventually it winds all the way down, and God doesn't touch it until it stops. No. God isn't just God way up in heaven, all powerful and taking a peek at us once in a while. No, he is actively involved in our lives. He is here with us at work. He is both transcendent and immanent. Those are the fancy words for it, gems. Where do we see that in Isaiah 40, that God is at work? Bunch of places. All right, how about verse 10, first of all? Look at 10. The sovereign Lord God comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. He's ruling. He's upholding. He didn't just create the world and us. He rules us, cares for us, comes down and works on us. How about verses 22 through 24? He stretches out the canopies like the heaven like a canopy, spreads them out like a tent. He's in charge of those eclipses we talked about. But wait, he also brings princes to naught. Princes to nothing. Rulers of the world, that is, to nothing. Did you know the Lord God is at work during every single election in this world? Not just our country, across the world. Every person who rises to power, God is at work. God brings them to nothing if that's what he is pleased to do. That's good to know, isn't it? God's at work in the presidency of Joseph Biden, at work in the supreme leadership of Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Listen, God's at work. This is important. God's at work in the leadership of Ali Khamenei of Iran. And God's at work in the prime ministership of Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. Right now. Lots of stuff happened this week, didn't it? But name any leader, any country, any time, name them all, God's at work. During peace times and during rumors of war and all-out war time, God is at work. Verse 26, we could use that verse too. God brings out the starry hosts one by one, calls forth each by name. Sirius, Big Dipper, Jupiter, Venus, Sun, Moon, show off my handiwork one more night. Show them I'm at work, please. And they are. There they come. All right, last one. You ready, gems? Fifth one. What was it? It was God is. Yes, and where do we see that one? Surely verse 11. Look at it. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. Do you see how the good shepherd pulls you in, gems? He tends the flock. You're a part of his flock. He gathers you in his arms. Now he's near, and he carries you close to his heart. That's the truth about God. That's the truth about Jesus, your good shepherd. Picture that. Would you picture Jesus putting you in his flock, gathering you to him, and carrying you close to his heart? That's the truth about God, about Jesus. And it's true, we know, and it's available, we know, because Jesus died on the cross for you to pay for your sins and take your punishment. And then he rose from the dead so you can have eternal life with him. And for those who believe in him, you gems, he pulls you in his flock, gathers you, and carries you close to his heart. Those are the five truths you taught us, and where we see them in Isaiah 40. And because of those truths that you stand on, Gems, you can and you want to and you love walking, running, and soaring with God, with Jesus, living your lives for him, renewed with new life by him and for him, having your hope in him. Because God, Jesus, has done and is doing all those five things for you all the time. He is King, Deliverer, Trustworthy, at work, and with you. So it's time to soar. Time to soar. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word that in so many places tells us who you are and what you have done, and always points us straight to Jesus Christ, who is our King, our Deliverer, the trustworthiest one, who is at work and is with us all the time. Thank you, Lord God, that you place us and have us stand on those five truths. You put us there so that we can soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. Thank you for doing that for each one of us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.